hour of life, liberty, and all that jazz. I'm your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You're listening to us live on this 21st day of March 2011, right here on the Republic Broadcast Network. Glad to be here. What a strange day this has been. I'm freezing my butt off. I had to actually turn the heater back on. It is just nonstop rain and wind out here. It has just gotten, you know, colder than all heck get out. It's in the mid-60s, and you're saying, what are you complaining about? Because it's been in the 90s, that's why. Quick market reports. I've got a full hour tonight, and thanks for taking your time out of your busy lives to join us. Dow Jones Industrial just came roaring back today, up 178 points to close at 12,036. I can't figure out why. Oil is back above $102 a barrel again. We got the big AT&T buyout of T-Mobile. What that means for you? Boy, we're actually buying something from the Germans instead of their buying all of our mortgages. What a joke that must be. NASDAQ up 48 points at 2692. S&P 500 up 19 to close at 1,298 points. Global Dow is up a point at 2126. Gold and silver have had very good days today. As I mentioned, oil currently at 102.42 an ounce. Over on the metals side, well, who knows? You know, I couldn't tell you the ups and downs for the whole day. Currently holding even at $1,426.20 an ounce. Silver at $36.05 an ounce. Platinum up four at 1,742. That's $1,742 in the aftermarket. Palladium down four in the aftermarket at 742. Ooh, an exact $1,000 difference between the two. And rhodium, as usual, sits there absolutely nowhere. So that's kind of what we've seen in markets today. The whys, the wherefores, oh, goody, goody. We're off to war number three, declared by a so-called leader whose own viability and integrity and eligibility are questionable unto themselves. We have some interesting things to talk about tonight. I'm going back to a history lesson tonight. First of a three-part history lesson. So stay with us, and we will be back.
Oh, lullaby of Birdland, that's what I always hear when you sigh. Never in my wordland could there be words to reveal.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Welcome back to a Monday installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. This program is brought to you, as it is each night, by Republic Trading Group. You can find us on the internet at republictradinggroupinternational.com. We certainly invite you to visit us daily. Keep up to date with some of the economic commentaries and news that can affect the direction in your life. Before I begin with the direction, the main focus of the direction of tonight's program, because I always believe that we have to understand historically what has happened before we can understand why and how we have reached the point we've reached in this given day. There has been, ever since the tsunami in Japan, there has been a tremendous amount of discussion regarding radiation reaching this country, et cetera, and food contamination and the ongoing ABCs and programming regarding the importance of Geiger counters and various different drugs to help ward the effects of radiation off, et cetera. And we've watched this unfold almost to a point of insanity. What I'm about to share with you, you may not agree with, but it is food for thought, and that is, after all, my job as a broadcaster, to get you to think for yourself. I received, over the weekend, a series of emails from a confidant, a gentleman who may not always be 100% accurate, but And an individual who you may tend to disagree with upon occasion, but after all, what he has put together is exactly that, food for thought. Why all the panic, he asks, when there is no need for panic? Americans don't use their heads any longer. As a bunch, they have a herd mentality. They don't think for themselves. They have tossed out any rationality they may have had. Case in point, the recent ongoing panic run on KI, potassium iodide. Let us step back and put a little rationality into this mad dash, Black Friday mentality, which has swept the nation. First of all, radioactive iodine 131 was a component of the Japan reactor's release. Secondly, the amount released was not that great in the scheme of things. Thirdly, it could have a bad effect to people real close to the reactors. Fourth, as the wind picked it up and it headed across the Pacific, the small amount of radioactive iodine 131 becomes very diluted in many millions of liters of air. And finally, the half-life for iodine 131 is only 8 days. That means that every 8 days, the radioactivity is cut in half. And so the question remains, what does all of this mean? Any radioactive iodine which made its way into the air currents toward the United States was low to begin with. In its route to the U.S., it will be so diluted as to make it virtually a non-issue. In addition, it takes 5 to 10 days to reach the U.S., depending on wind speed, so chances are that any that does make it to the U.S. will have undergone one half-life already. In other words, its original radioactivity would be cut in half. And so the bottom line, he says, is that for all practical purposes, the radioactive iodine issue is really a non-issue. Now, stay with me here. There are side effects to taking KI or K1 tablets. I don't know if it's KI or K1. It could be KI. And not recommended for some people, but who will read the precautions and or heed them while they're in such a fear of radioactivity? Probably not many. It's no surprise. You know, you get a prescription drug from your doctor. How many of you read all the side effects, all the information that comes with those prescribed drugs? And how many or how few will read the warnings and that come along with the KI tablets? So when the KI tablets were no longer available, it was desperation. People were buying out sea kelp. People don't use their heads. You'd have to eat pounds of kelp to get any reasonable dose of iodine to do any good. And do they know where the kelp came from? If it came from the Gulf Coast, they may be loading themselves up with dispersants and oil contaminants. Come on, they had reports of more slicks floating in the Gulf this morning. But our friend says, but the Americans are not alone. It was reported that the Chinese were running on their stores buying out iodized salt. How crazy can a person be? You'd have to eat 5 pounds of iodized salt to get any clinical dose of iodine daily. The salt would kill you. But people set reason aside when they become reactionary based on fear. Any amount of iodine-131 that would come to the U.S. from the Japan, the Japanese events, would be so small as not to be a concern. But if you did breathe some in its effects on the body under the circumstances, the health risk would be so small as to not be a concern. Within 1 month, any of it within the body would have undergone 4 to 5 half-lives, which means there would be, for practical purposes, gone from the body. So don't be so quick to panic. Use your God-given brains. Respond with reason when a response is warranted. Fear causes panic. Panic feeds fear. Panic and fear feed greed. They feed back on one another to your detriment. Is there any concern to the U.S. from the reactors melting down in Japan that would be a concern of plutonium from their mock reactor? Number 3. Plutonium is one, if not the deadliest materials to live on this planet Earth. One atom inhaled can kill a person. Time would be better spent learning about this and how to prepare measures to counteract it than chasing around for kelp or salt or KI pills. You need to put and keep things in perspective. It is written, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Our author sent me a subsequent email that says, I should have noted that I am certain in their ignorance because of their not taking the time to check things out for themselves or under the impression that if they take KI pills or eat lots of iodine that they will be protected from the dangers of radiation. This is not true. KI pills only help protect the thyroid gland. It does nothing for the rest of the body. KI pills are only effective against clinically significant doses of radioactive iodine. It does not protect against uranium, plutonium, strontium, or any of the other radioactive elements which are present in a nuclear reactor meltdown or leak. Finally, putting things in perspective, it seems rather odd to me that thousands, if not millions, of people are running around, some spending a month's wages from those who are price gouging to get a few iodine pills for a relatively insignificant threat, while at the same time bombarding their brains for hours a day with radiation from their cell phones and willingly walking through airport body scanners, which pour out radiation to the whole body. Something pretty sad about all of this. And finally, and listen carefully, absolutely repulsing is Mr. Megaphone's latest stunt. Mr. Megaphone last week went to the manufacturer of KI, potassium iodide, and personally bought, he claims, every bit they had. From what he said was that it had just arrived. It was not even in tablet form, but a powder. Mr. Megaphone claimed on his program last week that he bought out the manufacturer, so no one else could get any then. This was all announced on his Friday show. He told people they could get KI from him, that he had it, and he is selling it for twice the normal or regular price. And so the man who toots his horn that he is only doing what he does to help people seems he's on the take. Like almost everyone else in this screwed up society, he continually toots his horn on how he can never be bought off, that he has turned offers of big bucks from the other side to come over to them, and he says no because he is moral. Well, it was written, by their fruits ye shall know them. Speaking of deceivers, this dude only cares about himself. Everything else is an illusion. I guess my point about all of this, my friends, is severalfold. First and foremost, that we tend to respond to anything, positive or negative, that tickles our fancy. We listen to singular people, singular broadcasts, singular news articles that tell us this, this, and this. Is the government covering up some things, some real information? Certainly it's possible. It's more than likely probable. They're very good at that. But then we've got the other side that's warning of things beyond reality. Do your own research. Do your own studies. Use some common sense. Don't panic. And then on the other side, certainly don't listen to a broadcaster that uses fear to get you to buy a product from him for twice what it would be selling for on the store shelves. Why would a broadcaster who claims to be one thing allegedly buy up a complete manufacturer's supply of a product so that he could go out and gouge his listeners? What kind of crap is this anyway? Mr. Megaphone, once again, certainly only his own best friend. How sickening. It never fails to astound me. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of that segment. When we come back, I'm going to dig back into history. I'm going to attempt to begin to lay the groundwork why we're in the difficult situation we're in today. Please stay with us.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Blues, Clint Eastwood. Got a lot of comments asking for me to play more of Clint Eastwood's music. The problem is there isn't much of any, not that I'm aware of. This was one particular piece that he got up and did along with his son Kyle and his group at the end of a Carnegie Hall recitation of jazz versions of all the music that's associated with Clint Eastwood's television shows and movies, etc., etc. Welcome back to tonight's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. We are living through a recessionary period, somewhat of a depressionary period, a period of time in history that could easily lead to a greater depression than the Great Depression. Following John Maynard Keynes, mainstream economists hold that the Great Depression was caused by what they call contractionist tendencies of the gold standard. In this revisionist view, we could argue that just the opposite is true. It was the destruction of the gold standard by the government that caused the unprecedented collapse in the world economy. The chain of causation was as follows. First, interest rates were cut adrift from their gold moorings by the politicians. Bond speculators were unleashed. Chief among them were the banks. You see, they were all gambling that they might be able to plug the enormous holes in the balance sheet with capital gains in the bond portfolio. That is, by pushing interest rates down. The risks involved, well past the range of prudence of bank portfolio management, were removed by the ban on gold hoarding. This ban created a captive market for bonds. Now, previously, those individuals who wanted to manage their liquid wealth most conservatively would park it in where? Gold. But as this was no longer legally possible, they now had to park it in government bonds. And thus, the banks risked that interest rates would turn against their speculative long position in bonds. Those risks were removed. This, in simple terms, explains the extraordinary virulence of the speculative orgy driving bond prices up, or what is the same to say, driving interest rates down. Using fundamental principles of accounting, we're going to attempt to prove that our main thesis, asserting that falling interest rates squeeze the profits of productive enterprise. Worse still, in the 1930s, the squeeze was concealed by the accounting code, which Well, ill-advised politicians had relaxed at the beginning of World War I. Now, as a result, losses were reported as profits, and phantom profits were paid out as dividends to shareholders. Well, there was a hidden destruction of capital across the board. More precisely, capital was clandestinely siphoned off from the balance sheet of the productive sector to show up in the form of capital gains in the balance sheet of the financial sector. The collapse of production was not caused by the collapse of demand as asserted by Keynes. Rather, the collapse of demand was caused by the collapse of production, which could have been avoided by keeping the interest rate structure stable as it has always been under the gold standard. This would have completely shut out bond speculation. The economist profession would do well to re-examine its prejudices and prepositions about the gold standard. The urgency of this task is all the more pressing in view of the unfolding deflationary scenario. Once more, the interest rate structure appears to be falling inexorably, driven by another tsunami of bull speculation in bonds in which the big American and Japanese banks are calling the shots. Far from being able to control the situation, central banks are helpless. Their financial resources are no match for those of the bond speculators. The only way to avert another tragedy would be to stabilize the interest rate structure. This the United States government could accomplish overnight by opening the mint to gold. I want you to understand a few things. There's several statements in here that are somewhat time sensitive. What I'm sharing with you throughout the course of this week and possibly next week is an ongoing series that was originally written in 2002. Japan was much stronger. Today, China is amongst the biggest bondholders, of course, second only to the Federal Reserve itself. So we're going to spend some time. We're going to be talking about bonds. We're going to be talking about the fly in the ointment. Stay with us. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days, 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Spending some time this week doing several things, but sharing with you part one of a visit to the so-called Great Depression. Get a better understanding of what probably really brought it about. I mean, all so much of it comes down to greed, just outright greed, speculation, manipulation. Another word I won't use. There are two standard views of the Great Depression. Once again, Keynesians maintain that the capitalist system is, by its very nature, prone to overproduction. And in the absence of government intervention, excessive inventories will periodically lead to falling prices and to growing unemployment, which will further compound the collapse in demand. Now, they advocate public works financed, if need be, by massive deficit spending. Central bank must be instructed to buy up all the government bonds that the market is unwilling to absorb. Central bank, Federal Reserve, must buy up all the government bonds that the market is unwilling to absorb. Isn't that exactly what's happening here today? According to the Keynesian view, in the early 1930s, the current economic fetish, the balanced budget, prevented an increase in public spending to boost demand. And thus then, faulty fiscal policy is to be blamed for the economic collapse that followed. On the other hand, the Friedmanites, Milton Friedman, maintained that although the central bank should thrash out new money at a steady rate, something in the words of Friedman that even a clever horse could be trained to do, the Federal Reserve has been unable to learn this very simple rule. It has been issuing money erratically, at times too much, as in the stock market frenzy of the 1920s, then again too little, as after the stock market collapse in the 1930s. In the latter episode, the economy was squeezed through a shortage of money, all of which caused prices to fall. Thus, then, faulty monetary policy is to be blamed for the economic collapse that followed. Now, for some time, it has been increasingly clear that both views, both Keynes and Friedman, both, fall short of the mark. The Friedmanites ignore the fact that while the central bank has power to issue all the money it wants, at any rate of volume it wants, through the instrumentality of open market purchases of bonds, and yet it's utterly powerless to determine how the new money so created shall be used by market participants. Commodity speculation is not the only use to which newly created money can be put. Another possibility is bond speculation, which instead of raising the prices of goods, will raise the prices of bonds, or what is the same to say, will lower interest rates. And therefore, the sorcerer or the central bank will find itself in competition with its apprentices, the so-called bond speculators, and of necessity will lose control of them. On the other hand, the Keynesians ignore the fact that financing public works is a depressant on enterprising exuberance. Entrepreneurs are not prepared to compete unconditionally with the government for funds to finance projects. They want to be convinced that theirs will be profitable. And deficit spending by government brings profitability of the projects of private enterprise very much into question. I mean, let's be honest, in so many instances today, deficit spending by government allows private enterprise that's getting government contracts to profit. But that's not the same as your private enterprise nor mine. Now, superficially, both of these approaches to the problem appear to argue from different angles that they're in fact the same, albeit in different disguise. Both the Keynesians and the Friedmanites advocate the application of the same nostrum, the monetization of government debt, for the very same purpose, which is to suppress the rate of interest for political ends. But there is a fly in the ointment prescribed by quacks of either persuasion, namely the bond speculator. The so-called fiscal and monetary stimulus to boost demand is a myth. Either stimulus, rather than boosting demand for commodities, shall only boost speculative demand for bonds. That's where they're trying to guide people to. The bond speculator wants to buy first so that he can feed the bonds to the central bank at a hefty price advance when it's ready to enter the open market to buy its quota. Here's a description of the process in more detail. As the bond speculator wants to buy... It's a tiring day. As the bond market is destabilized by the expulsion of gold and by the introduction of an extraneous demand for bonds for purposes other than savings, in other words, once again, for political purposes, there will appear an increase in the volatility of bond prices and the corresponding increase in the volatility of interest rates. Bond speculators, dormant while the interest rate regime is stable, as it would be under a gold standard, will come to life with a vengeance as soon as volatility appears. Individual speculators as well as financial institutions will duly note that big money is to be made by trading as opposed to holding bonds. Oh, but there's more. In the new casino, the bond market, the dice are loaded. The odds are stacked in favor of the bulls. Speculators armed with this intelligence can have a free ride to riches. They simply stick to the long side of the market. Since the central bank is a buyer, virtually every time it enters the market, the risk inherent in trading bonds has, by and large, been eliminated. Speculators buy before the central bank does, and they sell afterwards. Little wonder that bond speculators have snowballed and become malignant, exceeding even the worst excesses of the earlier stock market speculation. Of course, then there's always derivatives. We look each and every day and wonder why gold isn't here, why silver isn't here, why the market has done this and why the market has done that, and why the currency value is up today and down today, and My God, it's all being manipulated, don't you know? You see, the insight that both the Keynesian and Friedmanite nostrums, allegedly suitable to prevent depressions, are counterproductive in that they aggravate rather than alleviate the crisis has escaped most mainstream economists. They accept the conventional wisdom that speculation tends to dampen volatility in any market, which is pure crap. It's a generalization which is, frankly, patently false. One must distinguish between two kinds. There's stabilizing and destabilizing speculation as they deal with risks created by nature or risks created by man. The thesis that speculation will even out fluctuations is true only of the very first variety. In other words, speculation in market for, say, agricultural commodities. And with regard to the second, speculation in markets dealing with risks created by man, including those created by governments, fluctuations will increase as a result of speculation. In the bond market, more speculation means more volatility, not less, as speculators seek to induce and ride price trends rather than resisting them. They do not act randomly as speculators in the commodity markets. Bond speculators march in lockstep, like some good little soldiers that say, ah. We're going to see throughout the course of this little historical venue that we're going to be sharing with you throughout most of this week, not on a continual basis, but an occasional basis, we're going to see that bond speculation has a pivotal role in the genesis of depression. Economic and deflation. The buying of bonds for speculative purposes depresses interest rates from their true level. And the mechanism that transmits the fall in the interest rate structure to a fall in the commodity price structure is provided by the rising bond price. It makes the present value of total debt rise. Now, as a rule of thumb, the present value of debt gets doubled every time the rate of interest gets cut in half. As the present value of debt rises, the cost of liquidating liabilities also rises. And here is the missing link mainstream economists have consistently ignored. The rise in the cost of liquidating liabilities causes an uncontrollable increase in the overall cost of servicing capital already deployed into production. And as costs increase, profits fall. Thus, the squeeze on profits is not caused by the falling price structure, as asserted by Keynesian orthodoxy. Falling prices are themselves an effect, not a cause. The real cause is the falling interest rate structure revealing that productive capital has been financed at rates far too high. And as a result of the squeeze, profits are turned into losses, and many firms fail, taking others down with them in a kind of domino effect, because receivables get harder to collect. Demand collapses. Prices fall. Central bank is desperately trying to apply damage control by putting more money into circulation. That's what it was called back in 2002. Today we call it quantitative easing. New money is just oil on the fire. It's not flowing to the commodity markets as expected. It ain't flowing to the people. It all flows to the bond market where the action is. Bidding for bonds in competition with speculators, the central bank puts even more pressure on the rate of interest. And the vicious circle is closed. The squeeze on profits is increased and more productive enterprise falls. Once Keynesian fiscal policy and or Friedmanite monetary policy have become official, bond speculators face virtually no risk. Central bank intervention will provide a nice tailwind to make their sails bulge. Quantitative easing. It's not hard to identify the chief culprit of bond speculation. It's the banking fraternity trying to rebuild bank capital that has been devastated during the preceding boom. The banks suffered huge losses in their bond portfolio thanks to the relentless rise in interest rates. And then we had the massive relentless rise in real estate sales and mortgages and all the money that they were able to put in on that deal. Greater losses sustained in the investment portfolio due to the proliferation of non-performing loans. Their clients have become overextended in the face of rising interest rates. Now the rate of interest is falling. The banks once more have the upper hand. They are determined to make the most of it. And the banks? They're paying dividends out once again, where 3 years ago they were getting bailed out by we, the taxpayers. Did the banks pay back their loans? Or are they just still floating with the money? The point is that the wealth of failing productive enterprise does not go up in smoke during a depression, as suggested disingenuously by the Keynesians and the Friedmanites. It is being siphoned off and will show up as capital gains in the bank's bond portfolio. In this revisionist view, the Great Depression appears to have been caused by a massive clandestine wealth transfer from the productive sector to the financial sector, denuding the former of its capital. In other words, picking our pockets. The wealth transfer has been made possible in the first place by the destabilization of the interest rate structure. For this, the responsibility lays squarely with mistaken government policies caving in to anti-gold propaganda and agitation for unlimited deficit spending. And here we are, all these years later, my friends. All these years later. And guess what? We're still making the same mistakes. Deficit spending. Print and spend and spend and print. That's all these people do. Quick example. Clandestine wealth transfer. We may wish to scrutinize the example of the downfall of the Swissair. The envy of the airlines industry for a half a century. Well capitalized, well managed, increasing market share with an excellent record of paying dividends. No one could predict that it would be the first to fall out of the sky after September 11th. And how did it happen? We're talking September 11th, 2001. Yeah, that's September 11th. Well, Swissair was a victim of the clandestine wealth transfer plaguing the productive sector as a result of the falling interest rate structure caused by bond speculators. Airlines industry, one of the most capital-intensive industries, which is especially vulnerable to concealed capital consumption. Through paying out of phantom profits. The invisible erosion of the capital base of Swissair finally reached the point that it could no longer pay its bills after the contraction of the market, and they folded. The shareholders' equity in the balance sheet of Swissair did not go up in smoke. It ended up in the balance sheet of the bond speculators as a capital gain. And this, my friends, has to be a warning to all firms engaged in productive enterprise. The same could happen to them, regardless of how well managed or how well capitalized they may appear to be at the moment. There's no protection against the vacuum cleaner effect of bond speculators on their balance sheet if the interest rate structure continued to fall. How much lower can it go than it is today? And in the second part of our series, we're going to put the patience of the listener to test by a detour to discuss some fundamental bookkeeping principles. It becomes imperative to understand how the books are kept or balanced or manipulated to make them appear to be something other than what they are. And it's going to be necessary for a full understanding of the stealthy wealth transfer from the productive, meaning you and I, to the financial sector, which produces nothing. The transfer would never be possible had the balance sheets of individual firms in the productive sector shown the true financial pictures at all times, and had the accounting profession raised the alarm about the ongoing capital consumption. But due to relaxation of accounting standards to accommodate war finances in 1914, the balance sheet ignored the huge increases in the cost of liquidating liabilities in the falling interest rate environment of that time. You see, the accounting profession was still in the dark. They could not detect the ongoing destruction of capital. Worse still, phantom profits were being paid out that further ate into the capital, ultimately leading to the downfall of the productive sector of the economy. And when we finally get to the third installment of our ongoing commentary, we're going to construct the revisionist theory of the Great Depression and warn of the consequences of the present economic environment in which the same forces are at work once more. We will conclude that the causes of the Great Depression are found in the combination of three factors. One, the fatally relaxed accounting standards. Secondly, the creation of the Federal Reserve banks in 1913, which made the monetization of debt possible. And thirdly, the destruction of the gold standard in 1933. My friends, those three factors interacted to cause wholesale capital destruction in the private sector. It was not the collapse in demand that caused the collapse of production, as asserted by the Keynesians and the Friedmanites. It was the exact opposite. The collapse in production, which ultimately caused the collapse of demand. Well, they certainly seem to be demanding that little Chinese-made stuff. Well, you can have it. Our family carefully goes to the store and looks very carefully to find out where something is made. And if it's made in China, we put it back down again. I won't support it. No, thank you. The collapse in production ultimately occurred in response to the invisible destruction of capital due to the falling interest rate structure, which in turn was engineered by the bond speculators, chief among them, the banking fraternity. I hope you'll stay tuned into this program as we continue to bring you throughout the course of this week our ongoing commentary. Now, coming up tomorrow, I believe Bob Chapman will be rejoining Bob once again during the National Intel Report. I'll be there for a short while. Tomorrow, on this program, Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz, the gentleman who was with us late last week, Bruce from Ottawa, will be joining me for a continued conversation about economics that matter. For those of us who live south of the border and north of the border, and of course I'm talking about the Canadian border, the U.S.-Canadian border. No, I don't live south of the Mexican border. Thank you very much. Bruce is going to rejoin us for some additional insight and commentary from the outside. Thursday, the beginning of a multi-part visit with a very wise and learned guest, longtime friend, man who has much to share. We're going to be talking, for those of you who have expressed an interest, the whys and wherefores of being able to, number one, leave this country if you choose to do so. He's done it. He knows how it's done. Does not mean you have to give up your rights as an American. A lot of things like this we're going to talk about. It ultimately will lead into a possible multi-part visit from him that will be designed to discuss the ways that you can properly get out of the system if you're such a mind to do so. That'll begin with my good friend, the town crier, on Thursday. And he'll be with us for the hour. There is much to be shared with you all. Boy, that makes me sound like a Southerner, you all. And that, of course, you know, is the difference between Northern girls and Southern girls. Northern girls say you can. Southern girls say y'all can. Amazing. Hopefully we'll have the energy to update our site tonight try to keep commentary of wisdom coming at you, but we have some pretty intense plans here for this program over the next couple of weeks. Hope you'll keep tuning in. I promise you will learn something at each and every step of the way. So as you should do with each program that you listen to, no matter which network it happens to be, no matter which program's host you're listening to, always keep a paper and pencil nearby when you're listening on your computer or your radio or your satellite dish or whatever. We can come to bring you controversy, get you all up in arms, get you all excited. I don't want to get you so excited that you can't make it down the hall to the library, but the fact of the matter is I come here to teach, to educate, to provide you with information that will allow you to make educated decisions. So I hope you'll continue to join us with all of that. We reach near the end of my hour. I don't know, I've got seconds left or something like that. So I hope you'll join me again tomorrow night. Another installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Well, the good Lord see fit to bring us together again without apology.
And all that jazz. You have got the lips that suit my taste. And your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got?
Gold, ever climbing.